listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace again this day from Jesus the Christ who never stops coming to find us. Amen. Let me set the scene. We're in Colorado, way up in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains, about 13,000 feet. We are 2 days from our trailhead and about 15 or 20 miles even from Rainbow Trail Lutheran Camp, which is our base camp out of which this whole adventure has been organized and led. This was not on our recent trip. This was some years ago. Heather and I, about 6 years ago, Heather and I and a small group of high schoolers from the last church I was serving, the two guides that were assigned to us, their names were Cody and Savannah. They were college age, and Savannah, everybody called her Savage. And two random Welsh corgis that just started following us and living with us on the trail for this trip, and who we had given much affection. We had even named these little Welsh corgis Jeffrey and the other Oreo. Anyway, that's the group, all nine of us packed under a small tarp stretched and hung from four trees, eating dinner high up in the Sangre de Cristos one night, and it's raining. Strike that. It's pouring. We're actually getting along pretty okay in our rain gear, sitting on the trash bags that we had brought, shoveling in pasta from our little metal Sierra cups, which act as both a bowl and also a mug. We kept lowering the tarp, you see, to protect ourselves as the wind was blowing and the rain kept coming. I remember the tarp actually got so low, I was probably the tallest one in the group, and it got so low that it pressed against my head so that I could feel the raindrops through the tarp tapping on my head, and I was serving as a stake almost to create a tent for the rest of the group, and then the rain would kind of drizzle down from the summit, which was my head. And we're still having a pretty good time in all this until it starts really coming down. It was beyond pouring all of a sudden. And all of a sudden, we see and we feel the water rolling down the side, the slight slope that we're on. It's starting to actually wash us out from under us. It's coming down so hard. It's not just pounding down on the tarp above us, but now it's under us. It's all rushing to what we guys in the group had claimed as the most scenic place to put our tent, overlooking this beautiful alpine mountain lake. We had taken this spot, and now all this water is rolling right toward the guy's tent, which was our only hope of anything staying protected and dry, that tent. And it's getting dark. Did I mention that? As if every drop of rain in the night sky is like a little light switch turning the sky off, up, 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 darker, 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 darker. By the way, I spoke briefly when I first arrived here at Bethlehem about taking a trip like this with our high schoolers, and I said, who wants to go? Crickets. I can't imagine why, and I'll ask again. When I got back from that backpacking trip, people kept asking me how my vacation was. I had taken this group of high schoolers. How was your vacation? I was like, I was with high schoolers, who were awesome, by the way, but still. And B, this rain story, among others. Anyway, all of this, of course, I'm drawing you this picture. It's a metaphor for life in so many ways. You know, trying to do everything we can to protect ourselves, like the tarp and the rain gear, Maybe making some hasty, greedy decisions to secure the best for me and mine, like me and the other guys with the tent site, only to wind up learning that we probably should have been both more thoughtful and more careful, and that there are some things over which we have absolutely no power. So, when I read our texts for this Sunday, I couldn't help but laugh. First, reading about Elijah in the Old Testament lesson, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting the mountains and breaking rocks in pieces. I couldn't help but laugh when I thought of that experience that we had had standing on the mountain before the Lord and the storm. And then this gospel text, on top of it, Jesus goes off by himself to pray, but it says that the boat was battered by waves. He was far from the land, for the wind was against them. Where are you in those stories? Do you ever feel tossed and rocked in the boat, terrified, waterlogged, wind-blown, shaken and soaked from above and below? I'm not going to move on to the punchline just yet, which is, of course, Jesus. Let's just sit with this. Let's just sit with this downpour. Let's just sit in the storm. Raindrops tapping on your head. You know, one of the gifts of that backpacking trip was having to sit in that downpour. You might think it was one of the worst nights, but it was one of the gifts of that backpacking trip. You know, on that trip, it was a week-long trip. What we had done was flown from San Diego out to Denver. And we did that on a Saturday. And then the next morning on Sunday, we worshiped. We worshiped at Lutheran churches at both ends of this adventure. At first Sunday, we worshiped at a church in Denver. And then we worshiped on our way out. We went back to Denver to fly out, and we went to a different church. We prayed at both of those very regular Lutheran services, just like we have here at Bethlehem. We prayed in the prayers of the people for the poor and for those who have no place to lay their heads. We prayed that same prayer just about both weeks, just like we do here every week. But after sitting in the rain a night or two and having that experience, we heard that prayer very differently the second time. Experiences like what we had make us feel small, make us feel mortal, make us feel helpless, and make us feel more compassionate. Many of us are well aware of our mortality, but we sure do try to avoid reflecting on it in our culture, I think. We Christians find ourselves in a death-denying culture. So to be battered by the waves, to sit in the downpour, to endure the storms, this is where we can only place ourselves in God's arms. Many know far too well these days what I'm talking about. It's important to note, Elijah in the Old Testament lesson didn't find God in the storm itself. Neither did the disciples in the gospel text. Elijah didn't find God in the storm itself. Neither did the disciples. Nature, as we know, is really indifferent. It's beautiful. It can love us. It can also kill us. No, rather God shows up in the tiny places during the storm, in the sheer silence. That's what the text says. God shows up in the sheer silence. The disciples thought they saw a ghost in this gospel. That's one translation of this word phantasma. That's actually the Greek, phantasma. It can also be translated as a blurry vision. That's all to say, God does not always appear clear and booming and powerful like thunder, rather as a blurry vision amid the storm. Like a friend who reaches out, a sliver of light through the clouds, a warm drink from a stranger, a blanket or a sleeping bag that miraculously stays dry. You know, thinking back on it, that crazy stormy night now 6 years ago was the most memorable and the most fun of that whole trip. 6 years ago, that's the night that I really remember. I didn't finish telling you what happened that night. We were being so pelted. it was hailing also on us that night. Those drops of rain turned into drops of ice. We were being so pelted under that tarp that finally our guides, wisely, after trying to direct us to clean up our dinner stuff and protect ourselves and one another as much as we could, they finally directed us. They just surrendered to this and shouted, "Run for your tents! Let's call it a night!" See, we would always have some kind of activity in the evening. Under the stars, it included devotions and songs and usually s'mores, but not that night. We raced through the rain and through the hail for our tents. We jumped inside, and would you believe it was actually dry inside our tents? Those are amazing tents. There was water literally rushing all around us, but those tents were so waterproof that I had my best night's sleep of the entire trip. I mean, that's as miraculous as walking on water, I think. But we didn't go to sleep right away. It was only 6:30 in July up in the mountains when we ran for our tents. So that night we played card games. We still worshiped together, actually. We could hear one another, the girls' tent and the guys' tent. We laughed and laughed that night. Guys in our tent, we could hear the girls laughing and laughing in theirs. We were fine, in other words. Thanks be to God. When you're that close up against the elements, there's no one else to thank for keeping us safe. Thanks be to God. Sisters and brothers in Christ, friends in Christ, that's a long walk to telling you this. Jesus never wearies of coming out to look for us. Jesus even crosses the turbulent seas, walks through the torrential downpours. Jesus even crosses death and the powers of hell to come find us, to reach out and say to us, "Do not be afraid. Have courage. I am here." Today, siblings in Christ, you are pulled up. You are rescued. You are saved from drowning. You are okay. Even in the storms, God has got us. So let's not be afraid anymore as we live our lives. Let's have the courage to get out of the boat, to get out of the nave that is the ship, to get out of the nice, safe, dry church and into the choppy seas of this world. That looks a little different these days. And I think we need to pray about what getting out of the boat, getting out of the nave means in this COVID world. I definitely don't mean literally venturing out there without masks and using the safe distance and all the precautions. That's not what this text is about. No, I think it's got to do with how we take faithful risks with our words, our money, our time. I'll be honest with you. For me, getting out of the boat, starting to say Black Lives Matter as a statement of faithfulness, as opposed to taking a political side, which is how it's, I know it's being treated culturally, but saying Black Lives Matter as a statement of faithfulness, that feels like a certain out of the boat risk for us as a congregation, out of the nice, safe, dry church, continuing to give to our camps, as Heather and I have decided to do with such an uncertain future. Personally, feels like a certain out of the boat risk. What does Peter style risk taking look like for you? Peter was the one who got out of the boat in this text. What does that kind of faithful risk taking look like for you? How is Jesus inviting you out to take a step of faith like Peter, and to be Christ's voice in this pain-filled, sheltering children who have no place to call home, feeding the hungry who have no table around which to gather, nursing the sick, speaking out in the face of violence, begetting more violence around the world and in our backyards. Where is Christ's call to us in all of this? Amid the cruelty and the pettiness and the self-ambition and the greed. People grabbing the best for themselves. Just like I did with some of the other guys in our group. Where is the church's voice in all this? How we can just huddle in the nave, even virtually. How we can just huddle up, terrified. What does Jesus say as he's reading our newspapers? What would Jesus do? These are our downpours. We are huddled under a tarp, and Christ comes out to meet us in the midst of a raging storm, to rescue us, to reach out, to feed us, to send us out, and to make us whole. Today, friends, we are being pulled up. We are being rescued from our fears and saved from our sins. Christ stops at nothing to wade into our humanity, into our downpours, into our sorrow with a powerful word of peace and hope and a strong arm to lift us out. Even in the heaviest of storms, God has got us and God has got this whole world. It's not ours to save. It's only ours to serve. Thanks be to God. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.